Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in the very final chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28. Let me just say, it's been a pleasure to be on this journey with you, starting with Jesus, then the 12 in Jerusalem, and finally Paul, as he journeys to Rome. And that's where we end today, in Acts 28, on our journey through the Word. They say that you form judgments about people within the first 7 seconds of meeting them. We've all met someone new and tried to figure them out. Are they cool? Are they a jerk? Sometimes I'll watch a preacher and wonder, are they for God or are they for me? Or are they for themselves? In Acts chapter 28, the Maltese islanders try to figure out these strange shipwrecked visitors that arrived to their shore, and they wonder about Paul in particular. Is he from the gods or cursed by them? But they'll need more than 7 seconds to make a judgment. Let's join the castaways around the campfire on the beach in verse 1. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. I'm with Indiana Jones. Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes? As if being shipwrecked wasn't enough, Paul is bit by a snake, a venomous cat snake to be exact. They still live on the island of Malta today. At first bite, the Maltese people think the gods are punishing him. But when Paul recovers miraculously, they think he is a god. You see, Greek mythology often told of Zeus and other gods taking human form and walking among men. It probably didn't help correct their impression when Paul started healing others, except that he keeps talking about God actually coming in human form years earlier and calling himself Jesus. Paul tells them it's his power at work in verse 7. There was an estate there nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods, Castor and Pollux. Eventually, they end up meeting some other Christians, and Paul is greatly encouraged. But let's jump ahead to verse 16. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself, with a soldier to guard him. Finally, Paul gets to Rome. After a long and perilous journey, speaking to kings, governors, and being shipwrecked, Paul comes to journey's end. But Paul's adventures aren't over just yet. You see, Paul hasn't testified yet in Rome as God told him. So Paul calls the Jewish leaders to huddle up and starts fresh with them, telling them about his ordeal and preaches Jesus to them in verse 17. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I've done nothing against our people or against the custom of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, we have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we did want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect. The Jews didn't write about him because they thought him dead. He was supposed to have been ambushed and killed, if you remember. He also was supposed to be lost at sea. In fact, he had been missing for nearly a year by this time. He was supposed to be killed by Caesar if he ever did get to Rome. But here in Rome, God's words to Paul from chapter 25 come true. As you've testified of me in Jerusalem, so you must testify of me in Rome. The Jews agree to meet Paul again, and testify he does in verse 23. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day, and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." That's where it all ends. It ends with a proclamation that the gospel is for everybody. The gospel is free for all. It's for the entire world. And in the book of Acts, we've witnessed Christianity going from being a small Jewish sect about a Hebrew Messiah to becoming a worldwide invitation to come to a global Savior. And because of what's written in the pages you've read with me these last 28 chapters, I'm here following Jesus. And so are you. Maybe you're listening from Africa or India or even Southeast Asia, or maybe Europe or America. Either way, Christianity is the largest and fastest growing faith in the entire world. We owe so much to the Apostle Paul. This small man whose back was scarred like a walnut because he just wouldn't shut up about Jesus. And that's where the book ends, about Paul, with a quaint little summary of how Paul spent his last 2 years in Rome. Verse 30. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. You know, scholars today don't think that Paul actually died in Rome at this time. This may be the end of the book of Acts, but it's not the end of Paul. In fact, they believe that the book of Acts is actually unfinished. Luke may have intended to finish this book and thought to write again later, but he may have been martyred before he caught up again, or perhaps he just never got around to it. That said, chapter 29 and every chapter beyond has been written through the years in the form of church history, as other brave men and women have set out to proclaim the same Jesus that Paul preached. They've taken the gospel into villages, hamlets, to hill tribe and natives on the plains, and everywhere the gospel has spread, another chapter has been written. Until you. For you, my friend, are also writing your own chapter. The story isn't finished as long as you're here, for God is still looking for people who will proclaim and teach about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness. And there's no end to what he can do through someone like that. Someone like you. So although I'm sad to say goodbye, I'm very excited to see you go and finish the unfinished story by living out the end of the book of Acts.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.